Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome to the program. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice of where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you for keeping it tuned here. Hour number two. Wow. If you missed any part of hour number one, I really encourage you to get the podcast. I'm telling you right now, it is a critical piece, and just really encourage you to check out hour number two. Michael Morris and I talked about free speech. We talked about issues related to that. Vince Ellison and I just got through talking about the left's racist ideas. We talked about Whoopi Goldberg and her suspension, but we just talked about that ideology that is just so anti-God. You know, one of the other things we talked about is we talked about the collusion of the media, how the media is colluding together, and they have one narrative, and there's a quote that's actually in there in this attack against Joe Rogan and Spotify. One of the quotes that Michael read, they said that Joe Rogan is like a weed outside of acceptable media standards, is basically what they said. Well, think about what that's saying. What that's saying is that there is that's an admittance that the media has a particular language that they are all supposed to speak. And if they're not going to speak that language, then they are going to be attacked and shut down. Look at what's happening to Joe Rogan. This guy's not even a conservative. He's just kind of a libertarian, right? He's just talking about truth. He's even gone after conservatives in the midst of all this conversation. So he's talking, he's just a guy that's looking for truth. Good for Joe. I pray that Joe finds the real truth. But the point of this is that the media goes after Joe Rogan now because he stepped out of bounds, goes after the Tucker Carlsons of the world because Tucker has stepped out of bounds. They used to go after Rush Limbaugh. I can't tell you how many times they tried to cancel Rush's program and go after Rush's sponsors. It's a regular thing. They've been doing it for years. Well, a gentleman who is fighting for truth, fighting for justice, fighting for our Constitution and our Declaration of Independence is my next guest. He's running for Attorney General in the great state of Illinois. He has been a longtime guest here on our program and continues to bring us great legal counsel and advice about constitutional issues. I welcome David Shostokas to the program. David, welcome.
Good morning. Good morning, Greg. It's great to be with you and your audience spread around the country. I'm sure we're in the midst of this winter storm here, and I'm kind of holed up in the house in the Chicago area. We'll see if it doesn't look like I'm going to get out anytime soon, which is disappointing because I've been out and about campaigning, explaining to people the difference between elected attorney generals and appointed attorney general of the United States, who serves at the pleasure of the president, while the elected attorney generals are supposed to serve the people that elected them. And folks, you know, it's very strange. Folks do not off the top of their heads know the difference. The U.S. AG gets all the headlines. And they think the local AGs are supposed to represent the governor, and the government, like the USAG, represents the president. That's not the case. And so we'll talk about that more length some other time. But it's just interesting how that particular aspect of the structure of the relationship between the government and the people is so generally misunderstood.
Well, and so
there's
important.
A lot of education going on.
And so important to understand, and I think there's a connectivity between that And this topic that we really want to get into today, and that has to do with a case that's been brought in the United States Supreme Court to SCOTUS that they have accepted. And it is a company that has said, hey, we believe that the FTC and the administrative state are operating unconstitutional, illegal, and unjust kangaroo courts, and we are now challenging their judgment, and we're challenging their ability to pull constitutional, covered individuals, which are all of the true citizens of the United States of America, into these kangaroo courts. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Greg. This Exxon Enterprise versus the FTC is a much more important case than anybody's paid attention to. On the other hand, it's kind of arcane and a little bit complicated and gets into the weeds of the administrative state that is the whole alphabet soup, whether it's the FEC, the FTC, the NLRB, you know, all these
EPA, BLM, right?
Yes.
Right? Yeah, the EPA wanting to say that pond in your backyard is somehow property of the government because the rain fell in your backyard and you happen to have a little ditch. The BLM that was the encroachment on our ranchers and on our farmers and attempts to go in and steal grazing rights and so on. I mean, that was the big Bundy fight that we had a number of years back, but it's still going on. Nothing's changed. Go ahead, David. But I really want you to understand, folks, this is kitchen table stuff. This is your kitchen table. That the federal government is saying, no, you can't put that on your table. No, you can't put that on the food that's on your table. No, you can't put that piece of food on your table. Your table and your house happen to be sitting on something that we now have determined belongs to us.
Yeah, of course, the reverse has happened over the years since the beginning of the New Deal, where these agencies have been created to supposedly administer certain aspects of the law. But what the agencies have become is, in fact, a judge, a jury, an executioner. They've become the legislative, executive, and judicial branches all rolled into one regarding their subject matter areas. And that's clearly, in many, many ways, unconstitutional. But there's a general rule regarding these administrative agencies that before you can go to court, if you have an adverse ruling regarding something the FTC did to you or your company, before you can go to court, usually you have to do what they call exhaust your administrative remedies, go through the hearings with the agency, and now the agency is claiming that you have to do that even if your claim against the agency is, in fact, that they are acting in an unconstitutional manner. And the courts are now the Fifth Circuit broke with the other circuits and said, you know, if the challenge the constitutional aspect of this, this is something that the courts need to hear, not the agency. And
right.
The other eight, you know, and the other,
right.
The other appellate courts up to now have said, you got to still exhaust your administrative remedies process before you can get to court. And now the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals said, no, you, if it's constitutional, you should be able to go to court right away.
And let me just interject this and ask you this, because you have a situation, these courts, and I've talked with Mike Dougherty about this in depth over the years on this program and in our conversation. These courts make their own rules, administrate their own rules, have no oversight. There's no congressional oversight with them whatsoever. And if you do something, or you introduce evidence, or you say something within their court that you're winning the argument, if you will, All they do simply, David, is they change the rules so that you can't make that argument anymore.
That's entirely accurate. In the midst of one of the briefs for this Exxon Enterprise case, there's a indication that the FTC itself, within its own court system, has not lost a case in over 25 years. And so, you know,
I mean, come on.
The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals said, you know, that's a record that would even be the envy of the 1972 Miami Dolphins.
Folks, you have to understand that the Fourth Amendment, and we've talked about this, David, before, that as a general rule, there are situations right now where look at the D.C. jails, look at the prisoners in the American Gulag at AmericanGulag.org, who have lost their Fourth Amendment, their Fifth Amendment, their Ninth Amendment. Look at what's happening with, if you go right now, David, and you want to go see your congressional member and you want to, or maybe in this season, let's say that you win as the Attorney General of the state of Illinois in the next election cycle. If you were a congressman, I'm just using this as an example. Yeah, sure. And someone invited you to their home and invited their neighbors so that they would have an opportunity, because it is we the people that are the governed here by consent, invited their friends to come over to meet you, to talk with you, to share concerns with you, to hear back from you, and so on. The DC Capitol Police now would be going through everyone in that room's financial records, emails, text messages, phone calls, to determine whether or not you were, in their minds, a political opposition to the people in power. And if you are, they may come kick your door down.
Yeah, no, this is really, really problematic. But back to the other situation.
Yes,
it is in fact encouraging that the Supreme Court has determined that it's going to take this case.
Amen.
That in terms of clawing back some of the authority that the Congress has abdicated, its authority to make the law, and it's given away the authority, and it's tried to take the authority away from the president to execute the law, because they have made some of these agencies what they call independent agencies, and supposedly they are not amenable to the president's power to terminate the commissioners.
Right.
So it's so they've created these little fiefdoms that, as you said, that they've taken away. They've given up their own authority to Congress. They've taken away the authority of the president to manage these agencies, and now they've said, oh, by the way, the courts can't hear certain aspects of what the agencies do.
It's a scary proposition. Yeah, it's a scary proposition what's going on, folks. And if you are a business owner and you run afoul of the Federal Trade Commission, which you could get hauled into this kangaroo court. This affects every business person in the United States, and potentially all of the other unscrupulous and nefarious administrative courts that are happening across our country and impacting Americans all across America. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more with David Shostokas. On the other side, let's talk about replacing Breyer and what that looks like, and we'll also talk about some of the upcoming cases as well. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. You're listening to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for him World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
It's sexual predators and comprehensive sex education both break down inhibitions. That's what they start with. They also gain trust with the child and then slowly start to get them towards sexual activity.
Anything goes. You are teaching children adult child sex. You're teaching transgender issues. And, you know, children are moldable and influenced by that.
They said, okay, now we need you and your team to be able to explain what homosexuality is to a four-year-old student.
To introduce this kind of material at that age, frankly, it's child abuse.
You're going to teach our children that it's okay for any two children of any age, of any sex, to have sexual intercourse with each other as long as two components are present. One's using a condom and they both give consent. Did I hear that correctly?
It's not a neutral venue. There's no such thing. Okay, the schools are doing your job. They are discipling your children, but they're not discipling them in the faith of Jesus Christ.
It's only the exceptional child that even survives that system. Most do not survive. Most have not survived.
They believe that children are sexual from birth and that they deserve and have the right to be sexually active and to seek sexual pleasure. And if anyone is stopping them from that, then you are judging and oppressing them.
Even kindergarten now, they're wanting to teach them more and more perverse information and acts and put that into the children's minds. And once those that poison is in the child's mind, it doesn't leave. They'll always remember what they learned. And it's by design, it's orchestrated.
In my humble opinion, it will be worse before it gets better.
Hi, I'm Pastor Greg, host of the Chosen Generation Radio Show, heard on the Truth Broadcasting Network and seen on TECNTV.com Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern, where I discuss today's most important issues through a biblical constitutional lens. TECNTV.com appreciates our partnership with NTD, and we'd love for you to give our great programming a view. That's TECNTV.com, Chosen Generation Radio with Pastor Greg. God bless you and God bless America.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Now, back to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg.
Pastor Greg.
And don't forget, you can get more Chosen Generation at www.chosengenerationradio.com.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. Thanks so much for tuning in. I know you have a choice of where you can listen each and every day. Please don't forget about possibly supporting us. We would greatly appreciate your support. As I mentioned in our last segment with Vince, $3,500. I know as a whole that may sound like a lot of money, but for $3,500 we can reach between 50,000 and 75,000 people in Punjab, India every single month, from our base, from our weekly outreach meetings, from putting in freshwater wells. That gets us 2 freshwater wells every month. Each one of those wells impacts between 3,000 and 5,000 lives immediately and then for generations. The sewing school, where we teach widows how to fish, not just give them a fish, but we teach them how to sew so that they can provide for their families because their husbands were murdered for their faith. The Bible school that prepares pastors, the orphanage that, well, obviously by its name, takes care of the orphans. And the food supply, the reason we get the money is that we have an arrangement with a grocer there that provides us with groceries at a discounted rate. We can feed an entire family for a month And we feed, on average, 50 to 70 families at every single one of these outreaches that we do, in addition to preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and planting multiple churches in those communities, because they see the love and the power of God at work, and you can be a part of that. $3,500 a month allows us to do that. You can also support our radio program here, and if you're a business and you'd like to be a sponsor, golly, I'd love to hear from you. 209-380-8654, my direct cell, 209-380-8654. Call me today. David, you mentioned this, and I want to go back to it, and then we'll talk about Breyer, and we'll talk about some of the cases coming up. But this FTC case really has just way more impact than anybody is, I think, understanding maybe. But certainly it's something that, again, when we talk about mainstream media and the fact that they have a certain line that they talk on, and a certain, you know, they're indoctrinating the population. But even conservatives right now are not addressing this issue of the importance of this case and what it could potentially mean to rein in not just the FTC court, but administrative courts as a whole. Can you speak to that again for a couple of minutes, and then we'll kind of do a rapid fire on the last two items?
Sure, of course. And that is the situation. This has become the problem in terms of the fact that these administrative agencies, the Congress has given them what they call a rulemaking authority. And while they call them rules, they have the full force and effect of law. When, of course, the Constitution, Article 1, the very first sentence is, the legislative power shall be vested in the Congress of the United States. Okay, so it doesn't allow Congress to abdicate such authority. The Congress has, in fact, done so with the blessing of the Supreme Court since the 1930s. And now the Supreme Court is taking up consideration of the extent to which this has happened. And to the extent that we can rein in these administrative agencies and actually make the members of Congress have to vote and pass laws themselves and be the responsible authority under which they were designed to be under the Constitution, that we can get people, you know, get the country back in many, many ways. The implications of this potential case are so huge. But it sounds arcane because of all the complications and what they call exhausting administrative agency rules and the Chevron doctrine and all this stuff that's built up around it that only lawyers talk about for the most part. And so it doesn't amend. It's not amenable to mainstream media coverage. And besides that, they like the administrative state.
You bet.
They like people making up rules for us to live by. They like things where unelected bureaucrats get to dictate and mandate how we're going to go to school and how we're going to appear at sports games and how.
Because up till now, they've controlled the narrative as it relates to what those committees and those rules and how the administrative state behaves. They've taken control of it, and therefore they control us. You mentioned about, you know, how we behave at school games, at football games. The Joe Kennedy case, Coach Kennedy, who I have met, is a wonderful man. He and his wife, his family, great people. His case, finally, we have a Supreme Court that is taking up the issue of whether or not someone can pray in public, for goodness sake. In America.
Yeah. And it's always been, you know, ever the inception of the country, it was freedom of religion, not freedom from religion.
Yeah.
But that's been turned on its head in the last few decades. And of course, the coaches suffered for his faith and in some respects suffered for all of us by wanting to do these things in public. And yet has been advised he cannot because it's freedom from religion. And so it's very exciting that the Supreme Court is maybe the last bulwark for freedom at the moment. And we can, you know who we can thank, right?
We can thank President Donald Trump for having put these justices in place. We'll talk next week because there's not going to be a decision made and a quick rush with regards to replacing Breyer. But we'll talk about that next and upcoming cases next week on the program. David Justokas, find him at CG Contributors, CG Contributors at the ChildrenGenerationRadio.com site. I'll be back with more Children Generation Radio on the other side. Coming up, Rick Manning and Scott Uhlinger, Biden's brown shirt Gestapos. We'll talk about it.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for him in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Use the code CHOSEN for free activation. Call 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT. Call today. Use the code CHOSEN, patriotmobile.com/chosen.
I got contacted by attorney Tom Renz over the weekend, who represents some whistleblowers within the Department of Defense. So these are whistleblowers that have been in conditions compared to a five-year average. They also have evidence that with myocarditis, the data has been doctored already.
I'm the one dealing with the medical boards. I'm the one watching the witch hunts. I'm the one fighting them off, and I'm the one telling them where to go. I'm going to keep doing that. 9/28/2021. Project Salus weekly report. Project Salus is a Defense Department initiative where they report and they take all this data that doesn't exist supposedly, and they give it to the CDC. They're watching these vaccines. On that date and around that date, I have numerous instances where Fauci and that entire crew were saying it's a crisis of unvaxxed. It's 99% unvaxxed in the hospital. In Project Salus, in the weekly report, the DOD document says specifically 71% of new cases are in the fully vaxxed and 60% of hospitalizations are in the fully vaxxed. This is corruption at the highest level. We need investigations. The Secretary of Defense needs investigated. The CDC needs to be investigated.
You combine that with the fact that there's at least suspicions that the Defense Department is doctoring with the data.
I would contend, Senator, that there is not just a suspicion. In August, when the report was run on acute myocarditis in the DOD website, there were 1,239 cases, and now when you run it, it's down to 307. In January of 2022, there were 176 cases, and magically, they are now down to 17. There is a word for that. It's not suspicious. We have in the military the single best data set that exists because we have baselines in there. And acute disease across all categories in the preceding years, 5 years leading up to the vaccination year, was 1.7 million. They introduced and mandated a COVID-19 vaccine for our U.S. military when they had only lost 12 service members total to the disease. And in the 10 months of 2021 after that, it jumped from 1.7 million all diseases to darn near 22 million. That was a 20 million increase. We need to not be calling this suspicious. With all due respect, we need to be asking hard questions of the DOD. And I will close by saying they are charged, at least in part, with protecting the sanctity and welfare of the brave men and women who are defending this country. And right now, these numbers indicate something is drastically wrong. And I know of only one reason: that databases roll math backward.
So who are you? Identify yourself.
So sorry. My name is Lee Dundas. I'm a human rights attorney that's working with Tom Renz on the whistleblower issue in the military. I would ask that Congress listen to these whistleblowers, put their testimony on record. These are brave men and women of very high rank in the U.S. military, because not just do we, Congress, in this building need to hear about it, the world needs to hear about what is going on.
Well, I will listen to them. We will take their transcribed interviews. We will gather their data. And again, I put the Defense Department on notice. They must preserve these records so we can investigate.
Thank you.
I have to show you. This is what we get when I investigate. I mean, this isn't to do with this, but this is after a couple of years trying to get information out of another agency, and we finally get the information, and it's all redacted. This is how the federal government, the agencies, comply with congressional oversight.
We're glad to share with you, Senator, because we have quite a bit of those that aren't blanked out, and we also want to tell you, listen, the side effects, the only one that they're recognizing, That's an outright lie. I've got the Pfizer documents. Pfizer said in their FOIA documents that they released, they said, we're looking for these side effects. The FDA said, we're looking for these documents. We've got their documents showing what they're looking for. They're not sharing it with the American people because they're covering this up. Corruption was the word of the day, and I think it needs to be reiterated.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome to the program. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice in where you can listen each and every day. And folks, I'm telling you, this is one of the most important segments that we'll do. I mean, how can I say, the FTC and pointing out what's happening at the Supreme Court, and that the administrative state's kangaroo courts could well meet their end in the next session of the United States Supreme Court. That would be monumental. We're the only ones covering that story. We covered it for you in the last half hour. The what's happening to our children, the pedophilia and the grooming that's taking place. Free speech. But this segment right now is so critically important. And I'm so pleased, number one, to have my co-host with me, President of Americans for Limited Government, Rick Manning. Rick, welcome. Good to have you. Thanks for being with me.
Thank you for having me. This is an important segment, and I think they'll
be armed and with knowledge about what's going on so they know how to talk about it to those who don't have exposure to this program. This is extremely important.
And our expert relative to this issue, and I couldn't think of a better person to bring on than a former CIA station chief who served this nation during mostly the time when the CIA and the FBI actually behaved and fulfilled their true roles, or at least the majority. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we are watching Biden's brown shirt Gestapos, the AmericanGulag.org, from the D.C. jail, the D.C. Capitol Police, who will investigate you if you host your congressman in your home, to the behavior of the FBI knocking down Americans' doors and dressing in full armor and bringing armored vehicles onto the streets of America and handcuffing and putting on their knees 10-year-old girls, true story. Watch Capitol, Capitol, punishment.com. Capitol Punishment, the movie. Nick Searcy just lays the facts out. You decide, but he gives you the facts. I welcome the station chief, Scott Uhlinger, to the program. Scott, welcome.
Thank you very much, Mr. Greg. Glad to be here again.
As a former member of CIA, as a former member, and understanding the difference, the FBI is supposed to deal with the domestic issues. The CIA is our intelligence apparatus. And having been a former Russian linguist in military intelligence in the Cold War, and I don't want to overstate that, but having been in the position that you were in, and now watching what's happening with these agencies and to God-fearing, Constitution-loving, patriot Americans, how concerned are you, Scott?
I am very concerned, Pastor Greg. I've seen these organizations morph into something that's absolutely unrecognizable. At a minimum, we're looking at services like whether it's the FBI or the CIA that are no longer able to do their jobs effectively. That's at an absolute minimum, and I would say that also extends to the U.S. military now. And that's because, you know, political correctness and all has basically slowly, and this started, you know, it really got into high gear during the Obama administration, has slowly driven competent people out of its ranks. Now, of course, there remain competent people, but a lot of competent people have retired for whatever reason, one reason or another, or have been forced out. And basically now it's a matter of these people are promoted because they have the proper political affiliation, because they represented New America, etc. And so these people have slowly replaced the competent people. So although, you know, CIA's work is always secret, I would gamble my reputation on the fact that I'm sure if you look at the number of people as intelligence sources recruited, the number of important intelligence gathered, the number of reports, that these things have plunged precipitously, let's say in the last 10 years or so. And it's all, and so that's at a minimum. We have organizations that are no longer able to do their job effectively. That puts us all in danger. But even worse, many more signs, especially with the FBI, that these, or but also including the CIA, that these organizations are actively working against patriotic Americans. And so that's the double whammy.
Rick, your thoughts.
Wow, that's just stunning. And it's a conclusion that I had come to looking from the outside, looking in, but to hear it from somebody who's been on the inside is terrifying, quite honestly. Let me ask you the obvious follow-up on this. We have seen the Obama administration essentially wipe out the middle ranks of officer ranks, the majors and the like, about 10 years ago through a change they made at the Pentagon, and basically encourage retirement of people who are mid-level. And we've seen a transition in the FBI since Mueller was head of it to where they have essentially made willingness to serve in Washington, D.C. at headquarters one of the premium things that we have in terms of a promotion. And so the genuinely brilliant field agents who are knowing what's going on are being replaced by bureaucrats who will do what they're told. What's happened with the CIA? Was this a Brennan thing, or has this been ongoing for a longer period of time in terms of infiltration and turning the CIA mission away from what it's supposed to do?
That's an excellent question, Rick. You phrased it very well. It's clear that you really know about this problem. This happened actually before the Obama administration started getting into gear. Political correctness has been around since the 90s. It was around then, but it went into higher gear after 9/11. And then it went into turbo overdrive under Obama. But specifically, what we saw after 9/11 was a huge influx. And this is the same with the FBI, a huge influx and budget increase to the intelligence community and law enforcement community to keep us safe. So they brought in massive amounts of new people. The amount of people that became, for instance, operations officers like myself, literally, and I came in 96 when that was the absolute nadir of recruiting. By 2001, they literally were taking in classes that were 10 times bigger than my class.
Wow.
They went from taking in 20 people to taking in a year, 20 people in a year in the agency to do what I did, the operations work, to taking in more than 200. So what happened was, that's when quality control starts getting away from you a little bit. I mean, if you open up floodgates 10 times, you're going to get other people in there. Some people are less than competent. But what I'm saying is then also as the political correctness took up steam, then that was reflected in promotions. You talked about, that was a very, very good point you had about how the willingness to serve in Washington with the FBI. That's the perfect example. What you started seeing very much in the agency, let's say by the early 2000s, was despite the fact that you needed people in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and all these other very bad and dangerous places, the rate of promotion of officers and especially analysts. And remember, analysts are only basically digesting the intelligence that the operators are collecting. And there's a lot more analysts than there are collectors on the ground, people such as myself. You saw the analysts in Washington being promoted at a much faster rate than field officers. I remember being in Washington, and I really was an experienced case officer, and literally seeing people who had just entered the agency. 4 years later, I come back from overseas assignments, and that person is my superior in rank, although she wasn't telling me what to do. But what I'm saying was she was a higher GS level than I was. And I was the guy in the field in places like Tajikistan. But she had been promoted in 4 years at like a stratospheric rate because I guess she was the right type of person. You see? So this kind of bureaucracy. So the bureaucracy.
So in essence, what happens is people who serve the Washington D.C. master get promoted, and those who are out doing the work get forgotten.
That's right.
That's the story of Washington D.C. bureaucracy, by the way.
And ideology obviously is playing a role as it relates to that as well. The willingness to go along with this changed ideology you've talked about. We're going to take a quick break when we come back. Thomas Renz, for those of you who have been watching our program, you've been watching him talk with Senator Ron Johnson about the impacts, neurological impacts on our pilots of the injection. We'll talk about that when we come back. And a destroyed plane.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Use the code CHOSEN for free activation. Call 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT. Call today. Use the code CHOSEN, patriotmobile.com/chosen. Greetings, Student Generation Army. I'm so grateful to be connected with you, my listeners. You are some of the most engaged, responsive, loving, and caring people I know. I need to bring to your attention an urgent need for our ministries in India. While there has become a focus on the Uyghurs in China, our ministries in Jammu, Kashmir, and Punjab are being terrorized by those same Uyghurs, the Taliban, and the mounting CCP army at the border of India. Between these threats and the lockdowns, we find ourselves in need of additional financial support. I'm asking for your help to support these pastors and their families, our orphans, our widows, our Bible students, and our community outreaches. $15 will feed a pastor's family for a month. $20 funds our sewing school instructor, and $150 a week funds our base operations, the orphans, the Bible school students, even the sewing school, and our senior indigenous pastor, Samuel. So please go to paypal.me/PastorGreg. That's paypal.me/PastorGreg. Or you can call me at 209-380-8654, 209-380-8654, to make your donation over the phone. Please call us, contact me today, and make your best donation. Thank you, and God bless you. Hi, I'm Pastor Greg, host of the Chosen Generation Radio Show, heard on the Truth Broadcasting Network and seen on TECNTV.com, Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern, where I discuss today's most important issues through a biblical constitutional lens. TECNTV.com appreciates our partnership with NTD, and we'd love for you to give our great programming a view. That's TECNTV.com, Chosen Generation Radio with Pastor Greg. God bless you, and God bless America.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. My guest, Scott Uhlinger, retired CIA station chief, and my co-host, Rick Manning. Americans for Limited Government President. You can find both of them at cgcontributors.com. That's cgcontributors at chosengenerationradio.com. What am I thinking? Chosengenerationradio.com, cgcontributors. Find them there. Hey, if you'd like to get one of these beautiful Chosen Generation Radio mugs. They're a great coffee mug. Got a lid that goes with them. If you'd like to get one of those, make a donation today, would you? I talked a little bit about India. If you want to learn more about that, go to cg4i.com, cg4i.com. Support our radio ministry at chosengenerationradio.com. Any donations today that we receive, we'll reach out to you with regards to these Chosen Generation Radio mugs. You can enjoy your coffee, your tea, whatever you drink in a wonderful Chosen Generation Radio mug. You might get somebody to say to you, what is that? And you can talk about America, the Constitution, God, country, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. How about that? Great conversation starter. All right. We were talking about the change in the hiring practices, the change in promotion practices, how basically the CIA and the FBI, the ship was shifted. I want to talk a little more about that. And then I want to come to something, Scott, that you brought up right before we went on air, and it's related to the injections. Thomas Renz and Lee Dundas were testifying before Senator Ron Johnson regarding the dramatic impact of injections in the last year on our military. Three DOD witnesses have come forward, whistleblowers, with unredacted documentation to prove what's really going on. And you mentioned something about an airplane crash. Let's do that, and then we'll come back to this other. But you mentioned something about we lost an F-35, and they've right. now admitted. What's the story here?
The F-35, which is the newest single-engine fighter that that the military has, there's a carrier version, there's a Marine Corps version, and there's an Air Force version. Well, the naval version, I believe, was on the carrier that right now is in the I forget what the carrier
South China, is. Isn't it South China Sea?
South China Sea. It is in the South China Sea. You're right. And it crashed, and what they said was, and actually there was a number of flight crew hurt, which is relatively unusual. But so I don't know the exact details of the landing. It seems like it was a crashed landing as opposed to like an in-flight failure. Okay. But anyway, I've read some stuff that reports that the pilot was having a reaction to an injection.
There you
he was
go.
Having a medical incident.
Yep.
And so that and the F-35, I think, retails for about $300 million for one aircraft. That's a disaster of a program and merits one show by itself. But the point is, so now the aircraft is at the bottom of the South China Sea, and now the United States is concerned about retrieving it before the Chinese do, so they can figure out what is wrong with that, so they can basically, you know, reverse engineer the aircraft.
You
that
bet.
Is if they don't have the complete plans already. The yep. pilot, by the way, was recovered, and he's not dead. He's injured, and he's
sure.
in the hospital, I believe.
Well, I'm sure he's quite injured.
Yeah,
and
I know it.
Yeah. Oh, do you know the story?
Yeah, I knew he parachuted. Yeah, he parachuted out and was mm-hmm. and they recovered him. There's actually a compelling picture that was on somewhere. I don't remember where I saw it, but a compelling picture of the plane actually in the water before it sank. So this is a circumstance where they know exactly where it is, but so do the Chinese. And it is, and so one of the, you know, there's going to be, it's going to be a great race essentially to that location to try to recover this plane. And as you said, the Chinese want the plans for the F-35. They want the ability to
reverse
figure
engineer.
It out because sure. well, because they are in fact trying to build a military designed to defeat our best aircraft, our best ships. And so this is really really important,
critical.
And so pay attention, because there may be some stuff talking about this, but one thing you won't hear is that the pilot ended up failing because of a reaction to an injection.
Because
I guarantee
he was having,
that won't
yeah.
be covered in the Washington Post.
Because he was right, having right. a neurological failure, and this is exactly what the clip that we've been playing of Thomas Renz and Lee Dundas testifying about this, and a DOD flight surgeon who has signed an affidavit saying that there's been a 1,000% from 82,000 to 863,000 cases comparing just in 1 year to the previous 5 year average. And this is just one of those instances, and the cost, not only in the injuries and the and how devastating that is to the families, right, involved in this.
Right, exactly.
The life.
And more important, how our enemies.
But mean, there, and then there the other you thing go. Is yes.
The yes. increased chance of war, because that's the problem, is that as other nations, it's not just the Biden administration's incompetence, but as other nations see these failures, whether it's in Afghanistan, Iraq, that's a disaster, or these things, it makes the case of the chances of war greater, because they perceive a weak, divided, and God forbid, an incompetent United States. And then these people are going to say, you know what? We are going to roll into Taiwan, because I think that this is our best chance right now. We have to seize the moment before the Americans get their act together and do it now while we have the time. And so, you know, that's always a bad situation.
And so let me pivot this, because here we're talking about, you know, the foreign relations aspect, the international aspect, and quite frankly, the actual purpose and goaling of the CIA, which is the gathering of intelligence, understanding these issues. But instead, this CIA, this FBI, in today's world, are more focused on what's happening inside of America and not going after terrorists, as you talked about, Rick, the fact that they're not going after jihadi terrorists. They're not investigating mosques. In fact, the mosques in Boston, the FBI has been told, don't go in there, don't bother them, don't harass them, don't talk to them. And yet we know that they are producing more jihadis and more terrorists than any of the other mosques in the United States, although there is a race now amongst them. But my point, gentlemen, is that instead of actually defending our country against true enemies, domestic and foreign, we have an FBI and a CIA as an operational status due to ideology that are actually going after American citizens like the three of us.
That's right. And it's a sad state on human nature, but you know, there's been a lot of studies on this, and you know, the Nazis, despite their human rights, their atrocities and such, when they did investigations after the war, they found out a lot of these horrible people who have blood on their hands were in fact disturbingly normal people. These were not people who had traumatic backgrounds. They were normal people who were indoctrinated into a society and did what they were told to do. And I think there is a chilling comparison between that and what is going on in the United States. Because for years, I've written about the politicization of the CIA. Literally, people can find my writings on that 7 years ago, 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is now, you know, and look at the last 5 years at least. How many, with all of the terrible things that have been done that the CIA did and the FBI did, spying on the Trump campaign, etc., how many people, quote, whistleblowers, unquote, came forward? How many people said, you know, my conscience, I cannot tolerate this anymore, and I'm going forward and saying something? And the answer is pathetically few or zero. And the bottom line is why? Because an average person nowadays, without a moral compass, with a mortgage to pay, doesn't want to stick their head up. They don't want to stick their neck out to get it chopped off. So they go along to get along.
Yep, that's exactly right. And all you need to do is look at what happened to Adam Lovinger, who pointed out that we're funding this Stephen Halper guy. What the heck is that about? And he ended up getting fired. He ended up getting destroyed. And then he ended up not having... He basically never was made whole, and the whistleblower laws were meaningless because he was whistleblowing on an administration that was protected.
Look what happened to Phil Haney. Phil Haney was murdered. All of his belongings have been taken. His travel trailer, his truck, all of his electronics, is, everything is gone, removed, taken by the FBI.
That's right.
But no ongoing investigation. I'm in touch with the family almost every week. I'm the pastor that prayed with him and visited with him and talked with him and texted right. with him 2 days before he was murdered. No one's talked to me. Amador Valley Sheriff, nope. And they have my number because I've called them multiple times. The FBI,
wow.
never reached out to me, never interviewed me. Nobody is saying a word. It's as if it never happened. And I'm going to tell you, and Scott, I think you could vouch for this. I know Rick will as well. Phil Haney was one of the most intelligence resources in our nation.
It's a fact. It's an absolute fact. I would think I was on your show with him. I was on several programs with the man, and his book was very impressive. The guy was an incredible national resource. That is the absolute truth.
And he was a guy who spoke truth, and he got blown up out of the federal government and out of Homeland Security because of it. And he ended up being and he ended up losing his life. And I think, like you do, Greg, he was murdered.
Yeah.
They call it a suicide, but he was murdered.
Yeah.
And the actions of those agencies afterward, that somebody with his background, with his knowledge, was killed under suspicious circumstances, their willingness to sweep it under the rug is a...
It's chilling.
Yeah. It is chilling at best.
To all of us. All right, we're out of time, folks. Scott Uhlinger, Station Chief, the Station Chief. Follow him on Twitter at the Station Chief. Rick Manning at limitgov.com, getliberty.org. God bless you. God bless America. And remember, listen to this. At the end of the day, when I stand before my God, I do not want him to ask me, what did you do with the world that I sent my son to die for and redeem? How did you fight the good fight to share the good news and keep evil in check? How did you shine your light and be a beacon of truth in the darkness? Did you shrink back in fear when they demanded you change my message? Did you call evil good and good evil? Did you forsake my love for that of another, lying with the adulterer and setting up a new idol in your life? Have you defiled yourself through compromise and tolerance of that which I call an abomination? Have you innocent blood on your hands for the children murdered on your watch and the young ones perverted in their way by evil men seeking their own comfort and reviling me? No. At the end of the day, I want him to simply say the evidence is in. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I love my God and I love his creation, and I will go to my grave telling the world that evil is evil and only God is good, and Jesus came to save the world. That no matter the evil in the world, I will never give up, and in spite of the hate, I will love in truth. God bless you all, and may love remove the veil, so you all might enter into his rest. Hi, this is Pastor Greg, host of the Chosen Generation radio show, reminding you that we have a two-hour program Monday through Friday with great interviews on topics that impact you. Our goal is to return our country to a biblically based constitutional republic as envisioned by our founding fathers and what made our nation the greatest in the world for over 150 years. You are a part of that vision, so please join us at ChosenGenerationRadio.com, ChosenGenerationRadio.com, and sign up for our emails today.